You would like a copy of my scripture references? I have a copy in the back, and I would challenge you to look at God's word for yourself. As you know, I'll be talking about character, and I would like to start with a story. A couple months ago, there was a story in the Navy Times about a chaplain that was relieved of his duties because he decided to get drunk and have sexual relations with a woman in an alleyway. Now, this man was not some junior officer straight out of boot camp. He was an 06 captain, a man at the end of his career, a man that you would have expected to have godly character. But this man was only a drop in the bucket of many people that have claimed the name of Christ and yet live contrary to the Bible. So I have three considerations for you if you yourselves would like to desire godly character as the people of God. The first one is, since the day that we were born, we were waited on hand and feet. And then for the first 18 years of our lives, we are living under somebody else's roof. And this situation is actually ideal, but it's not until we start facing the stresses of life that the wisdom that our parents give us actually start to make sense. When you start having to pay bills and you have to get a job, you start having to work with other people who are just as selfish as you are. And you have to learn how to deal with customers who have grown up in a consumer society. And at the end of the day, it may take every fiber of your being not to want to strangle your boss. But it's at those moments where your hate is the strongest that your love must be stronger. The reality is that we would be spending our entire lives trying to wrestle through with the teachings of Christ. But there is something else about us that is working against us, and that's our heart. See, we were spiritually dead, and when we started off before we came to Christ, our hearts didn't respond to God. It didn't care about the things of God. And even sometimes as Christians, we can be caught up in our culture. We can be pursuing things that don't matter. You know, career, family, possessions. Nothing inherently wrong, but things that are passing away. But that's why God has to do surgery on our hearts, to give us a new heart, one that will respond to Him, one that will love Him, one that will pump life into our spirit. That's why there is also a need for us to die to ourselves daily, because that heart is still in a mortal body. And so we face this struggle every day of having to deny ourselves to the things that we desire and seek the things that God desires. But this isn't the only thing that is working against us. The world, the entire world, is also working against us. And this is the message of the world, the Epicurean motto: let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And why would you not, when it's survival of the fittest, if this is all that there is? Why would you not take what you can, sleep with who you want to, and step on who you must? After all, we're just animals, right? There's also another lie, is that we believe that we can be good enough to get into heaven. If I just do enough good things, if I just ask forgiveness of enough, that God would have to let me into heaven, because I'm a good person. But friends, this promotes hypocrisy, and Jesus warns us about hypocrisy. But what else would you expect from the children of the devil. This is his world, after all, until Jesus returns. He has been an accuser from the beginning, accusing God's people, looking for anything to foul them up. He's an even better theologian than you and me. All he has to do is take a scripture and twist it and get us to believe that. And then all of a sudden he has a foothold in our mind. And all it takes is for someone to cut us in traffic, for a pretty girl or guy to walk by, or the new season of Netflix on to distract us. But he tempted Jesus, and he also tempted us. After all, this is a war. And he tempts the brethren and the sisters day and night. The next thing you should consider is desiring that character not only for yourself, but how it affects those around you. We spend our entire lives building relationships. And though you may be able to put on a mask for strangers and acquaintances, you might even be able to fool your coworkers. But those that have known you long enough, eventually your character shows through. Your friends and your family, they know who you really are. See, the Bible associates your name, your onoma, with your reputation. So when people ask about you, what do they say? What do you think about Lee Trinh? Is he generous, hardworking, reliable? Or do they say he's a hothead and he's always gossiping and he always has that frown upon his face? We can go out and witness 5,000 times, but all it takes is one slip of character to ruin it. And our actions do matter, but I believe our tongue can be much more destructive. God said that he would keep us accountable for every word that we say. And I like sarcasm as much as the next person. But can you be sarcastic without putting somebody else down, mocking their intelligence at the cost of somebody else? Do your words build others up? Are they happy to see you every day? Does your life attract others to Christianity? But our character doesn't only affect unbelievers, it also affects the church. Are we stepping stones or are we stumbling blocks? And Jesus warns us about being a stumbling block to other Christians. Now, the hyperbole of a millstone around the neck is quite fitting, because this was a practice among the Greeks as a punishment whenever a parent would commit a crime against a child. They would drown him with the millstone around their neck. Doesn't Paul call us to be spiritual parents, older brothers and sisters to younger Christians? Are we people marked by forgiveness, patience, and joy? Or Do your children get the impression that it's okay to go home and complain about the way the church is run, how I don't like so-and-so, how I didn't get anything about out of the message, instead of how I could serve or what I can do for others, how I can be a church outside in the world and not just in this building? God doesn't pick the cream of the crop. Jesus said that the prostitutes and the tax collectors entered the kingdom before the religious leaders. So if we can't learn how to love each other, we're certainly not gonna learn how to love our enemies, people that are broken, fallible, but have Christ. Paul even goes as far as to say things of the conscience that may make a brother stumble, you should be sensitive to. And this one is kind of hard for me because I grew up in public school. But God longs to build up his church, to build us together. And though Christianity has a long, rich history, many people that have died for the faith, people we can look to help us, there are people in this very building that have had a lifetime to work through the teachings of Christ, people that we can learn from. You know, David mentioned last week about, you know, honoring our elders and our pastors or our leaders, but also just not just honor, but double honor. We look to them, we trust them because of their experience, because of their knowledge. And lastly, we should be designing our character for our relationship with God. Our most important position in God is that we are his children. Children naturally imitate what they admire the most. I mean, think about what you wanted to be before you grew up. Maybe a fireman, a nurse, a pilot. Isn't God worth admiring? Many great teachers have left us their word, but only one has left us his spirit. And he has sealed us with his spirit, a mark of ownership, that we belong to him. So how is it that we could continue ever going through our day in blatant sin? We are also called to be ambassadors for Christ. We may be the only Jesus that people ever know. We were meant to reflect his glory. So if they get a bad impression from us, they get a bad impression from God as well. Right? Isn't that the work of a diplomat? Shouldn't we work hard to let others know about God's grace, his goodness, his kindness, that he offers hope and forgiveness to refugees that come to him in brokenness? It was Mueller that said that I would not have anyone look at me and see that I would be worried or anxious or fearful, lest they think that I have a bad master. And God has goals for our lives, not only who we are in Christ, but also he wants us to be in Christ. And he wants us to be mature, to have the fullness of Christ, to be able to handle the solid food of the word and wean ourselves off that milk. You've probably met Christians like this. They've been in the church their entire lives, but they still act like they're 4 years old. But that's why I like the gift of discernment. Proverbs says that with knowledge comes easily to those that have discernment. And one of the things that God uses in order to mature us is trials, which apparently we're supposed to accept readily. But Christ suffered, and we share in his suffering, so we should expect to also suffer. And certainly we didn't suffer as much as he did, bearing the ultimate sacrifice. But it is through these sufferings that we learn how to empathize with others, and that we can share our stories with them of how God brought us through and how he gave us hope. And also I believe that God wants us to have a mindset of a servant, because it's hard to be prideful when you see yourself, when you base your entire lives on serving others. And it may or may not make it easier, but it has helped me to pray for those that are in authority over me. But even if they mistreat us, what do we have to fear if God is for us? I'm probably the last person that should be up here talking about character. In fact, I probably need it the most. But there's three things I'd like to leave you with before I close. And the first thing is, I believe we should slow down. You know, David talked about uncluttering our lives. We can get so caught up in our busyness that we forget to keep in step with the Spirit. We shouldn't forsake our time with God. The second thing is, I believe we need more coaches in our lives. Again, the people in the church that have had experience, a lifetime to deal through the teachings of Christ, people that can share wisdom. And lastly, I believe that we should be a people marked by thankfulness, because it's hard to complain when you're thankful. And you often find that people that have the least are the most thankful. Thank you.